In the last few weeks here at church, we have examined the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have examined His triumph over the tomb. And this morning, I want us to see the triumph of Jesus Christ in trials. He triumphed over trials. You may say, Preacher Darren, what trials did Jesus have? Oh my. Have you ever stopped to think about the experience of great trials that Jesus had to go through? 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and the devil came tempting him, and Jesus defeated him with the word, amen? How many times when the Lord would do miracles, or where He would go about from place to place, and there would be those that would reject Him, and yet the Lord persevered over the trials of life. Think about the cross. What a trial, the scourging and standing before Pilate and then to go to the cross of Calvary. What a Savior to be triumphant over the trials in our life. Imagine telling your friends that the Son of Man would be delivered to the chief priests and He would be killed. He would be crucified. Imagine having the faith to say, it's okay, because in 3 days, He's going to rise again. That took faith. That was a trial to His faith. Amen. Jesus' faith was tested, tried, and proven to be pure. Jesus was the spectacular possession of God the Father. He came with a special purpose, and there's no doubt He was given specific promises. May I say to you this morning, faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. For example, how would you like to go get on an airplane and fly somewhere on a plane that had never been tested? How would you like to go see a doctor who is going to do surgery who never passed his medical tests? I heard a story one time of a man that was getting ready to have surgery, and the doctor looked at him and said, "Sir, you seem nervous." And the patient said, "Well, I've never had surgery before, and I'm very nervous." And the doctor said, "I know how you feel. This is my first surgery too." The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall thy seed be called. Verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also He received him in a figure. There is an example of testing in Abraham's life. And this picture of Abraham offering up Isaac is a dress rehearsal for Calvary, if you will. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, the word tried means he's being tested. He's being put to the test. What is his test? The Lord said, "I want you to offer up Isaac." Think about that. Isaac was his only hope. Yet he's to offer him up. Tests, trials, temptations come in two kinds. I want to say that the devil will solicit you or tempt you to do evil to cause you to stumble. But God will never solicit or tempt you to do evil. God, when He tests you for good to cause you to stand. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 in verse number 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In order to have pure faith like purified gold, God is going to put your faith in the fire. Some of you right now are being tested by a fiery trial. And may I take time to say this? God means you no harm. God wants you to understand whether or not you have the real thing. Genesis 22 is the background for the text I just read to you in Hebrews 11. I want to read Genesis 22, beginning with verse number 1. Remembering that when God tempts, it is a testing for good to cause you to stand. In Genesis 22, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." May I take time out to say this is the first time the word love is in the scripture. "Thine only son, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." I do want to say that the moment that God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, in Abraham's mind, he had crucified him, sacrificed him that very moment. And 3 days later, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." You see, Abraham, 3 days before, in his mind, it was as if he had crucified that young man. He took his life. He sacrificed him, gave him to God. And now 3 days later, he sees the place. He says to his young men, "You all stay here. Me and my son, the son and the father are going to go forward to a place that they can be alone together." And he said we will go yonder and worship and we will come again. Amen. I'm taking him to lay his life down, but I know my God, he's going to bring him back to life and we're coming back to this very place one more time. Amen. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Can you see the crown of thorns on that lamb that had been provided? Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Never before had God asked for a burnt offering of such, for a human sacrifice. May I say that God was testing Abraham's faith, asking him to do something that surprised him, that was a shock to him. He was asking him not to give up wrong things, but right things. He was not asking him to give up bad things, but good things. Oh, if he had asked him to give up lying and cheating and stealing and gossiping and pride, he'd have gladly done it. But God was not asking him to give up the bad things to show how much he loved God. He was asking him to give up the blessings. God had given Abraham a possession back in Hebrews 11. In verse 17, he said he offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. God had given to Abraham a possession. God had given to Abraham a purpose. He said, I'll make of you a great nation. God had said to Abraham and given him a great promise, I will do it. And it is as if God is asking for all of that back. The test of faith. Some of you are tested and you're having to give up things, and that's difficult. But there may come a time in your life that God's not asking you to give up things. He's asking you to give things back. Blessings that he's put in your life. This is not, are you willing to give up your sins for God? This is, are you able to give your blessings back to God? Three areas I think we need to think about today. This is heavy on my heart this morning. Number one, can you trust God with the spectacular possessions he's given to you? The test for Abraham was a gift that God had given to him. That gift was Isaac, his son. When Abraham was 100 years old and past the time of being able to have children, and his wife 90, way past the time of having children, God gave them a promised son. And they were blessed, and they loved this child very dearly, naming him according to God's plan, Isaac, which means laughter. And now God says, I want you to give Isaac back to me. The blessing, the possession that I gave you, give it back to me. Why, Preacher Darren? Well, could it be that Abraham loves Isaac more than he loves God? Could it be that Abraham loves the gift more than the giver? Has he moved God into second, third, or fourth place in his life? God will never take second place to anything or to anyone. You may say, well, Jesus has a place of prominence in my life. Listen, he's not looking for prominence. He desires, he deserves, and he demands preeminence in our lives. In the book of Malachi chapter 2, I want you to turn there with me. And I hope they'll put this screen up on, this verse up on the screen. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 2. There is a verse that God's dealt with me about. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart, and give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Did you see that? God saying, the blessings I've given you, there's a time you give that back to me. And if you won't do it, God says in Malachi 2:2, I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. May I tell you this morning what's wrong with our nation? Is God is beginning to curse our blessings. We've been blessed like no other nation on the face of God's green earth, and yet our nation spits in the very face of God. We have put God aside and concentrated on our blessings, and now our blessings are becoming a curse. And that frightens me to death, because God said, I will not take second place to anything. Therefore, the blessings you have, I will curse them. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? What he means, do you love me more than these fish you've gone back to? Do you love me more than entertainment and recreation? Do you love me more than your amusement? Do you love me more than your vacation time? Simon Peter, do you love me more than your brothers, your friends, these other disciples? Do you love me more than you love your friends? Do you love me more than you love your family? Do you love me more than your ability and your health to make money? Simon Peter, I will not take second place in your life. Do you love me more than all these things, more than all these possessions I've given you? Darren, do you have in your heart a love that is greater than you have for Jesus Christ? If you have in your heart a love that is greater than God, I challenge you, take that and lay it on the altar of Moriah and give it back to God. Well, Preacher Darren, I can list my, listen, he's not asking you to list your sins. I sit down and I list my blessings. I think about my darling wife. I think about my precious children. I think about my lovely granddaughter. I think about my life, my health, my family, a house, clothes, the gift of serving God in this church. It's been a joy. The ability to have knowledge of the Word of God. But all of that, as much as I love them, do you love me more than you love these things? Man, I've had to lay on my face under my desk in my office. Simon Peter's answer was, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, but God had asked him, do you love me with an agapeo love, an unconditional love? And Simon Peter said, yea, Lord, you know I love you with a phileo love, a friendly kind of a love. Do we love God more than we love our possessions? With an open hand, we need to say, oh God, I love you more than anything else. And it's not easy to do. Can I ask you a question today? Is there anything that God has given you that you would not give back to God? You see, anything God's given you, you can trust Him with. And anything God has not given you, you don't need it. So Abraham said, yes, I'll give you Isaac. Hallelujah. Number two, Can you trust God with your special purposes? God had told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. In Abraham's mind, he said, here's the plan. God is going to give me a son. I'm 100. And can you imagine your grandpa calling you saying, I have good news. Me and your grandma's going to have a baby. Can you just see him at the maternity ward when he says on his cane, it's a boy. In his mind's eye, God would give him a son, and that son would have sons, and they would have sons, and through Isaac, God would make of Abraham a great nation. But now God says, put it to death. That makes absolutely no sense at all. But faith is not just believing God. It's obeying God despite the circumstances. He was to offer Isaac in obedience. Not knowing why, not having to know why. We don't live by explanations. We live by promises that God has given to us. All the time you say, well, if I just knew why I'd do it, if I just knew why. Honey, God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And he didn't tell him why. Can you be obedient to God and trust him when you don't know why? Why did God take this out of my life? Why did God move this away from me? You feel like you're not going to make it. You feel like you can't breathe. You feel like you'll never eat or you'll never be able to go forward from this moment. Can you trust God with his plan? Can it, not your plan, his program, his purpose. Can you trust him? God told Abraham to do this, and I read to you in Genesis 22 how that the next morning Abraham got up and got Isaac and he started on his journey. It was immediate obedience. He did not delay. He did not linger around. He didn't procrastinate. Procrastination is a form of disobedience. As soon as possible, he got busy. Oh, man, yesterday. Be quick, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, to go forward in the joy of the Lord. Has God told you to do something? To say something? To give something? And you're waiting. Waiting on what? God told you to do it? Are you waiting for someone superior to give you a clearer order? When God says do it immediately. When test comes, if you don't do it immediately, you'll get yourself in trouble. Be quick to answer the Lord. Not only immediate, but it was informed. Hear me. Listen to me. Abraham was not stepping out to do something different. Abraham stepped out to do what God told him to do. God spoke to him. Listen to me. Some of us, we're trying to do something that God didn't tell us to do. We're trying to give up something. We want to make a statement. We want to do something. But God never told you to do it. I'll never forget, there was a moment in this church. God had saved some on this side. He'd saved some on this side. God was working. The altar was full. God dealt with hearts and souls. And a woman, she came up through here and she said, God has showed me to walk down the aisleway here. And when I walk down the aisleway and I get to a certain pew, the one I stop at, there's somebody lost on that pew. I looked at her and I said, well, I'll tell you what God told me. God told me that if he didn't tell you to do this, he's going to kill you. So you go ahead and do what God told you to do. She parked it on the front row and never went back to her own pew. She never moved another muscle. Because sometimes we try to do things God never told us to do. Abraham did not come up with this concept. He was making an informed obedience. He was an immediate obedience. It was an impassioned obedience. Sometimes when God tells us to be obedient, we do it dragging, pouting. God told me to do this. We're mad about it. We're reluctant. We're dragging ourselves through doing it. But we must serve Jesus Christ with an impassioned, burning love to do what he says when he says do it. Can I trust God with the spectacular possessions he's given me? Can I trust God with a special purpose he's put in my life? Thirdly, and I'm done. Can I trust God with a specific promise? Look, you got your Bible? Hebrews 11. I want you to look at this in your Bible. I read it already once, maybe even twice. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, Hebrews 11, verse 17, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He had received what? The promises. You can trust God with his specific promise. God said, I will give you a son, and God did. Now he said, I want you to offer me that son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, that's his posterity. That's his sons, his grandchildren, his future, his hope. Verse 19, accounting. The word in the Greek is logizomai. It means to reckon. It's an accounting term. It means to calculate, to consider. Accounting. He's considering. He's believing. He is reckoning that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. A figure means a picture. A figure means a type. And I told you, in Abraham's mind, he's offered that boy up, amen, and 3 days later, he's going to go worship and come back again. He and the lad, he received him back. Hey, when he drew that knife, God stopped him, and the knife didn't fall on the boy. The knife fell on the lamb, which was the Son of God, which I believe that angel of the Lord that stopped him was a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ in that very moment. From that day, here's what he's saying. Abraham, accounting, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He's saying, Abraham, you've given what I wanted. I know you didn't withhold it back from me, and I know you love me more than anything else. Will you hear me for a second? If you love it, let it go. If it's yours, you'll get it back. And if not, you're going to be saved from a fate that's worse than death, because God was going to turn that situation into a curse. Think with me just for a second. I believe with all my heart that God is asking you to give back to him something he's already given. Many years ago, I hope y'all look at me just for a second. I called a child up here. That child, I gave two big offering plates. I don't know where offering plates are, but I wish I had them right now. Two big offering plates. And I put candy, money, toys, games, things, many blessings for that child. And that child's like, wow, thank you, preacher. Wow, all this, whoa, what a blessing. And I said, you can go to your seat. And it started to go to its seat, filled with joy. I said, wait a minute, come back. It turned around and says, I want it back. I have something more I want to give you, but you're going to have to set down what I've already given you to get this next blessing. What? Set it down. Put down the games.
put down the candy, put down the money, put it down. I have something more I want to give you. But it, well, just put it right here. Put it with my other blessings. No, I want to give these blessings back. I gave them to you. And the child put them down, and I gave them something even better, two empty hands than what they already had. So much so that they forgot about all those things that they were so happy about. They were even happier. God is asking you, I've blessed you. I've given some of the most wonderful things in your life. Are you willing to lay those things down and give them back to me so that I might give you something even better? Some of you, in the last month or more, there have been some things God has moved away from your life. And you don't understand why. Honey, there's not one promise that you can't trust God with. It is one thing for the preacher to stand up here and say that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It's great to quote that, but can you trust it? Can you live it? You can trust God with the possessions he gave you. But don't love the possessions more than you love the giver. You can trust God with the purpose he's given for your life. You can trust God with the promises he's made you. Amen. I promise you that God will grow that for his glory. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what God is doing, will you hear me? What God is doing in your life right now, he means you no harm. He means this for good. He's not trying to hurt you. He wants to help you. So just as that little child, if you've had something that's been set down in your life, or maybe there's something you need to resign yourself from and set it down, just say, God, you told me to do this, and I'm stepping out on faith, and I'm going to do what you said. Years ago, God told me, resign a good church, give up a full-time job, and I want you to go full-time in the ministry. And I had to set down the blessings of a job and the blessings of how I'm going to take care of my family and the blessings of a wonderful church. If y'all are listening right now where I used to, God bless y'all, I still love you. But I had to set those things down and turn around and say, now what, God? And I had two churches that said, we believe God's called you to be our preacher. Now I knew immediately somebody's wrong. And I figured both of them was. That's what I did. And then God sent me here. Amen. And it was the same day. Amen. It was the same day. Shortly after that, I got a call from a big old church. They talked about staff. They talked about budget. Oh, but I knew. I'd already announced, I'm coming here. God has already spoken. You see, immediately it was a test to see would I pull away from what God had called me to do. Honey, I'm telling you, God is testing you for your good to cause you to stand. And though this message, I'm telling you, it has worn me out all week long, but I'm here to preach it to somebody besides just myself to let you know God's interested in what you're going to do with this. You stand at your feet. Jesus Christ triumphed over trials, and he wants to cause you to triumph over this trial, over this testing that God has woven into the fabric of your life. You might ask him to help you.
Our Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, I cannot imagine Abraham's position making that choice to trust God. And yet, God, we find ourselves in position today. And Lord, we lay down everything, everything. Surrendered, submitted, given to you. Father, this morning, Lord, we lay down the blessings. God, we want you to do what only you can do in our lives. Father, we're wanting to be obedient. We want to love you with an unsurpassed love. So, Father, we serve you. Help us, God, to be true and faithful to a God who himself laid down his own son that a wretch like me might be saved. And Jesus said, though I am killed and crucified, my Father will raise me to life after 3 days. Woo. Thank you, Father, for Jesus triumphed over trials. And through Jesus, we will triumph as well through this trial in which we endure. Help us then, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.